Thank you so much, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Are you well? You're doing well? It's such a blessing to stand here. I feel in my heart this is family. And we minister all over the world, or all over Africa, and it's our second visit to America. And but thank you so much for the privilege to stand here in your midst and to speak to you from my heart. I have prepared something and then the Lord changed it. So I want to share, not normally, I do not share experiences, but I just want to touch on something. And with that comes the word. And we are in a relationship with Andre and Prophet Ed. And so our prayers, and also we will go back to South Africa and also do the same from our church, because we're standing in that relationship with them. We will support. But thank you for receiving for Paul and I this morning, and Pastor Rod and Beverly. Where's Beverly? Beverly? Oh, there you are. Thank you for receiving us. And also I want to thank Prophet Ed for connecting us. I really appreciate and honor that, and all my husband traveling all over the world with me, and then our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of His church. He is the supreme authority, and there's no one higher than Him. Therefore, we do not bow our knees to no man, no woman, no religious institution or organization. We bow our knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let us give Him a hand of appreciation. Father, I just thank You for this precious family. I thank You, Lord, that there will be a spirit of hearing in this place, that we have ears to hear, and we have eyes to see. And we will watch to see what the Lord will say unto us. And Father, I thank You that today burdens will be lifted. Burdens will be lifted. Uncertainties will be removed. Chains will be broken. Shackles will fall away. And all limitations will be removed. And I pray that clarity and breakthrough will minister to us through Your Spirit. That there will come understanding and knowledge and discernment into our hearts and minds, Lord. And that we will see things for what they are. And there will be no confusion or misunderstanding. And that by Your Spirit we will know what to do. How to walk, how to obey, and how to glorify the name of our Father. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak and touch on things. For me, Christ is the center. But there's a reality and the pressure, the reality of pressure, the reality of oppression. And there is a pushback in the spirit, because there is the enemy. And we are not ignorant of his ways, the word says. But we have so much promises, because all the promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And so we stand upon his word, and that is becoming our refuge, our source of strength, and because the word says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So in darkness or in pressure and oppression, we need a light. We need a light to guide us out of this. We need a light that will give us sight and understanding. In Isaiah 54, here's one of those promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
No weapon. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, listen to the Amplified, this peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. What a promise. What a promise. Jesus never said there will be no weapon. He never said that there will be no persecution or trouble or trial. Never. Never, never. He said, I was persecuted, you will be persecuted. So he never said that it will just be moonshine and roses. Not that moonshine. We have a different connotation in South Africa. So I don't think it worked. But you catch my drift. So he never promised us that. But he gave us this promise that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that is rising. And so many times he dealt with the enemy. He disarmed him. He defeated him. He unclothed him of all his power and authority. And he made him a public spectacle, the word says. But the reality is still that your enemy goes around like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. So the pressure, the oppression is still there. But what was designed to destroy you and me, in the hands of God, in the hands of God, Romans 8:29 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So the difference is my love towards God. That is the separating factor between destruction and victory. My love for God. And many times we don't understand when things come against us, because church, we can feel that weapon. Come on. Sometimes that weapon is formed against our bodies, our physical health. It's formed against our mental health. It's formed against our relationships, our marriages, against the purpose of God that you called. He called you to as a church, the ministry, your pastor and his wife, our children, our grandchildren. We can feel the weapon. Sometimes we experience that weapon so close in our face that we can sense the burning, because it was forged in the fires of hell. So it's very real. When we speak about the weapons that comes against us. But we have this promise. We have this godly promise. And God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that will change his mind. He will not say something and not do it. He will not promise us something and not fulfill it. Numbers 23:19. This for us is an anchor scripture. It anchors our faith. Because if God cannot lie, then I can trust Him. I can wrap my life around every word He says, every promise He gives. But in these times of when we stand in the battle, like we sang this, when I see the battle, He already sees the victory. Because whatever was designed to destroy us, He is going to use to propel us. And in the midst of the battle, in the midst of what is coming against us, God is at work. He did not instigate it or willed it. We are living in a fallen creation, and we are in this world. And as He is, so are we in this world. But in the midst of the battle, when our focus is drawn to the fire and to the battle and to the weapon, God is at work within us and around us. And then the promise comes, another promise comes. It says, what eye has not seen, what ear has not heard, and has never come up in the heart of man, all that God has prepared and keeps it ready for those who love Him. So when we are drawn into this conflict, God is at work. He's at work around us and in us. And in the battle, it is like a toothpaste. If you press it, whatever is inside comes out. So when we are under pressure, whatever is inside will come out. Spirit or flesh, it will rise up within us. And many times we are not aware of what is in us until we get into that place of conflict. And there are good things and holy things, and they are spiritual maturity, but there are also things revealed to us that is a surprise. Our doubt, our unbelief, our fear, the way we thought we will never be tempted, and that those thoughts will come and visit us in such fierceness that you cannot ignore them. And so in the midst of that pressure, God sends an angel like Zechariah in Zechariah 2 verse 1 to 3. And I lifted up my eyes and saw, behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then he said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem. Now God was referring to Jerusalem, but we are Zion. And God is still measuring things. He's measuring things in our hearts. Because God wants to align our hearts with His. It's not about the position or the ministry or the works. God is all about our hearts. We can worship Him with our mouth, but our hearts can be far away from Him. We can make the right noises, but our hearts can be far away from Him. God uses things to draw our attention to our hearts. And He reveals these things to us. And behold, the angel who talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him. When we speak about measuring things, just the definition of measuring, it is to measure the dimensions and the capacity or amount of something. What God is measuring within us is our faith, our commitment, our love, and our obedience. Will we submit to Him and obey Him? And in the measuring, God knows what He will find, but we do not know. We do not know what he will find. And in that measuring, if the Spirit comes and he reveals these things, we learn and we find out what is within our hearts. We learn and found out what is the capacity of our spirit or the capacity of our faith. To measure is an estimate of what is to be expected as of a person or situation. So when God comes and he plumbs that line in our spirit man, he sees things. And by the Spirit and his love, he wants to align us back towards his plan, his purpose, his will. And there's an inspection taking place. Yesterday at dinner, I spoke about a dream I had where the foundation of a house was revealed and the Holy Spirit came as a building inspector. And he checked out the foundation of the house. And this is what happens when we are under pressure. The inspector comes in the midst of all this. And in the aftermath of the battle, we become aware of the inspection. We become aware of the measuring. And because God loves us, he reveals these things to us. Of our faults, our shortcomings, where our hearts and our attitudes were not right with him. And then we have the opportunity and the chance to correct that, to ask forgiveness, to be corrected by him, because Hebrews 13 says, God corrects the true sons. He corrects the true sons. And correction, family, is not rejection. It's not rejection. He says, if we are not, do not allow correction, that King James calls us bastards. He says, you are a bastard. You are illegitimate. But if we submit to his correction and we embrace what we found out and be changed and transformed by the Spirit, he says, for the moment, the correction is painful. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so, there were times in my own life where I was pushed to a breaking point. And I could recognize, if I look back, I can recognize those moments in my life where the oppression was so strong that I could feel myself crack under the pressure. One of them was 1988. And in that moment, and in that context and circumstances, I nearly took my own life. I was saved. I was in full-time ministry. But I nearly cracked. And the temptation was to kill myself. That was the temptation. So in the midst of a battle, there will always present itself a temptation that wants to draw you and will tell you this is the solution to the problem. It will turn you away from Christ. And it will turn you away to yourself and to your own humanity. And flesh will start to tell you this is the answer. And with that, the forces of the enemy will work you over. Come on. Darts, fiery darts will try to penetrate your mind. Try to tell you what to do and show you the way out. But we know that he was a liar from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. And that is the spirit that wants to kill and steal and destroy. The second time was in 2015. We were on a mission trip to Malawi. Just five of us in the car. Myself, I had a condition in my body. And we went and Paul nearly died. He had a condition. And I thought I was going to bury my husband in Malawi. And there was a moment where he was lying on the ground. He had no energy. Everything was drained from him. And I watched him, saw him. I saw him dying. And I turned around and I walked away. And I whispered. And I said, Lord, I'm done. I'm done. And something broke within me. And so the temptation was to walk away from the ministry. To walk away from what God called us to do. And we were in business before we went into ministry. We went into ministry in 2008. And like somebody said, God called us from success to sacrifice. We had sold everything. What we did not sell, we lost. And we walked away learning to trust the Lord day to day for our bread, our provision, where we were self-sufficient. We sowed in other ministries. We sowed in other people's lives. We had to learn to receive now from others. So God dealt with pride in our lives. He dealt with many, many things in that situation. And so when that moment came, the temptation was to walk away. And so God protected me, but something cracked within my heart. And it took me a couple of years to restore, to recover from my own words whispered in unbelief, whispered in doubt. Because I thought in that moment, God deserted us. The second time was now, 2021, 2022. And the pressure came. And what was the pressure was, and the aim of that pressure was against the unity between Paul and I, because we were always a very strong team. And the unity in the leadership, the unity, we are mentoring a group of ministries and we have a sister's church and we have a strong unity. And so the opposition and the pressure came against unity. And the temptation in that pressure was also to walk away. Because like Jesus, you know that when he was fasting and in the desert, the word says the enemy took him on a high mountain and he showed him the kingdoms of the world. For me, I was taken to a place in the spirit and I saw the destruction of our marriage, our lives, the ministries, and all that we stand for and all that we sacrificed for. I stood in the midst of it. I saw the destruction. And what happened is fear entered my heart. I opened up for fear. And when God came, He rescued us. He protected me. He protected my husband. He protected the ministries. He protected because he said, no weapon that is formed against. Tongues were raised up against us, but no weapon. That promise. And because I love the Lord, I turned to the Lord. I prayed like never before in my life. Never. Because I knew if God does not save us, we are out of this. We are destroyed. We are off the table. And that was the aim. Prophet came and told us. He said the aim was to take you out. That was the aim. And so the pressure and the enemy is very real. But we have a God We have a high priest that is interceding for us. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, he said, the enemy tried to sift you, but I prayed for you. And I want you to know today, church, in this life, we will have trials and tribulations. We will have opposition. This is not a prosperity gospel where everything will just go right for us if we do the right thing. We did nothing wrong. I know that before God. But doing nothing wrong, something was formed against us. And God used that something to measure. Because unity will always be tested. Submission will be tested. And in that, God revealed to us how precious we are for one another. How precious is God to us. And that He is truly our salvation and our rescue. And that Father will send sometimes that angel to measure things and to bring inspection. Why? Because He measures the capacity. He measures to give more. He wants to add to your life. He wants to add to the ministry. He wants to add things, and He wants to, in His love, let you know that whatever lies ahead, by the strength of the Holy Spirit within us, we will be able to bear what is coming. We will be able to handle what He entrusts to us. That our hearts is pure towards Him. That our hearts, the intention of our hearts is revealed to us. And like David says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And in the inner man, a steadfast spirit. We cannot create that heart. Ourselves, we cannot create within us a clean heart. But He can. He can, because He has tested our hearts. He has measured our hearts. When He reveals that to us, we can see, okay, we can move forward. And whatever comes, Lord, I know and we know, we will be able to stand in Your grace. We will be able to stand in Your love. And what was when He's finished with the measuring and He's finished with the inspection, I promise you, God will establish things He has never done before that moment. So everything works out for the good. Everything what was designed to destroy you, God uses to propel you. God uses to establish you. If you turn to the Lord, He will turn all things around. And by His grace, He will be glorified in the situation. I'm a teacher of the word. I'm a teacher and I a co-laborer with Jesus Christ. I don't often speak about these things. I have better things to speak about. But I just felt in my heart today that in this atmosphere, in this family, and meeting your pastor and Beverly, there's a kindredness. There's a mutual heart. And I could feel I could share this with you. And Zechariah says, 2 verse 5, For I, says the Lord, will be to her, to this city that is set upon a hill, this city that cannot be hidden. Come on, church. You are a city set upon a hill. You cannot be hidden. You are a light in the darkness. Those who are in darkness is looking for light. They're looking for you. And God says, I, says the Lord, will be to her a wall of fire round about. And I will be the glory in the midst of her. After all these things, where the enemy tried to break us and destroy us, I give God the glory. I give him the glory because he rescued us. He saved us. He protected us. And this trip to America, it was a time of recuperation. It was a time for me for restoration for us. It was a time of healing. It's a time of deliverance from that fear that entered my heart. And I want to give him glory for that. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today as I'm closing, that just turn to the Lord. If you sense that weapon, if you sense that pressure, if it's against your family, the ministry, whatever, in your workplace, in a work situation, just give it to the Lord. Turn to him. Run to him. Cry out to him. And he will come and help you. With this, I'm ending. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. Inasmuch as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. Because the devil is after your faith. It is Hebrews 11:6 says, it's your faith that pleases God. Faith is the currency of the kingdom. If he has your faith, you and I have nothing. And it says here, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation. Because in the midst of that pressure, there's an assault of temptation. Things enter your mind that has never done before. You think thoughts you've never thought before. Because you were never before in that situation, under that pressure. So in your mind, things are flashed. Images are thrown to you. Dreams comes and it tortures you. Because in that, the temptations are present. And like Jesus in the wilderness, the word says, when he was hungry, he was tempted. If you're not hungry for something, you will not be tempted. Come on. If there's something within my nature that is not dealt with, God will use this situation to reveal to me, be careful of that. That can be tempted. If it's dead, it cannot be tempted. If it's nailed to the cross, it cannot be tempted. But if it's still alive, by his grace, he reveals it. Then it says, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace that we might receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time. Come on. Good time. God is mighty slow, but never too late. Sometimes he's mighty slow, but it's never too late. Even with Lazarus. Slow, 4 days, but never late. And we will find grace to help in good time for every need. Listen, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Can I have an amen? So today, can we stand? We're just going to close in prayer. God will not leave you where you are. He will not leave us. He will not leave us in our failures, our lack. He will not even leave us in our disobedience. He will come. And He will come and meet us, but He will take us where He is. And by His grace today, that same storm that you are feeling today, if you give it to God, if you turn it to Him, that same storm will propel you. Will propel you in the Spirit. Will propel you in growth. Will propel you in maturity. And it will establish things that will glorify God in our lives. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your love and your grace. I thank you for your precious word, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence that we have in who you are, the security of your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, that you are not a man that you should lie. And today, Father, I pray and I come against the spirit of fear that is present and is needling us secretly and slowly, torturing our minds, sketching images of destruction and images of fear. Because you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you have given us Spirit that loves, that is of a sound mind and power. So today, Father, I thank you. We turn to Jesus. We are looking away from all distractions unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And today, Lord, we repent from all the doubt, all the unbelief. And we turn towards you, Lord. And your word says, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And we behold you. And when we behold you, we are transformed into that very image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's emancipation from all bondage. And today, Lord, we address the fear in our hearts about tomorrow, about what is going to happen, what we shall eat, what we shall wear, where we shall go, what shall be happening in the ministry or in our family. Lord, we submit it. We cast our burdens upon you this morning. And your word promises us, you will take care of us. You will take care of us. And in that we want to glory. We glory in your care. We glory in your love. And we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And we say, Amen.